Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from the other side.
Now presenting. Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, fellow humans out there, and welcome to our show. We are going to talk in a little bit with my son, Eric Medhus, who's a perpetual 20-year-old and now is a spirit guide helping people all over the world get through life. And today's topic will do just that for many, many people. So first I would like to introduce his spirit translator, Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We've got some fun stuff for you guys tonight, so I hope that you guys can connect to it and learn and grow from it. So get your ears on and get ready.
All right. First, he'll share a little bit of his wisdom, and then we'll take callers. And I want to let everybody know that only one question per caller, because we want to get as many people on the air as we possibly can. So before taking callers, Eric wants to teach us how to find positive relationships and make them work. That's the hard part. Finding them is hard. Making work is really even harder. And I think every person in our lives ought to be those who make us a better version of ourselves. But that's just me, Eric's mom. So let's see what Eric has to say. And Eric, you might want to also speak to what to do about toxic relationships. But the floor is yours, buddy.
That's right. You guys, as Elisa said, you guys can all relate to this in one form or another. I just had a session with a lady earlier today where Eric was talking to her about how to mend her relationship with her mom. She needed to move her mom in with her because she's getting older, but they're estranged. They didn't get along, so she thought, you know, is this going to work? And Eric said, you know, he basically was teaching her how to shift her perspective so that she's not picking up on and carrying, like, the toxins of the past experiences with her mom. So Eric wants you guys to listen to the topics, listen to the things that we discussed tonight, but in the way of, you know, any type of relationship, whether it's you and your kid, you and your parents, or you and your lover, he says. So listen up, guys, because he always has this great advice on how to not be trapped by, you know, different things in your relationships that sort of bog you down and bring you down.
Hallelujah.
He wants to talk about how to repair and mend relationships if you're already in one and it's difficult, or even how to attract the type of relationship you're longing for.
You know, I think it's going to have to be a multi-show thing. You know, first maybe, you know, one could be how to attract a positive relationship, and the other is how to maintain it, and maybe another one is how to take care of the ones that are toxic. What do you think, Eric?
He says, you got it, Mom.
What do you want to start with, then?
He says, there are so many people that they sit around, they look at their watch, years go by, and they think, you know, when is that one coming along? Anytime now, surely there's someone out there for me, and they're going to come along. So he's talking about, you know, they're out there. They're always there. You just have to align your awareness to bring in that experience. So he says, just remind them there's never an absence of anything. It's just a lack of awareness to it, no matter what it is. So even in relationships, even in happiness within a relationship, if you've allowed yourself to become an emotion of the past, like of a past experience in a relationship, then that's how you're going to precede, like, the next encounter with that person. And I know he's all over the place. I'm going to try to keep up and try to make sense of this, but he's talking really fast, and he's all
Uh-oh.
Over the place.
Slow down for her. Poor Kim.
So, it's like when he's really, I mean, he's always fired up about teaching and about anything. He's always talking fast. So bear with me, guys. But he says when we have the hardest time, and you guys have heard him say this word a million times over, but he's going to give it to you in a different way, attachments. So when we have had certain experiences with people, whether it's disappointing, toxic, frustrating, or even so elated that we get lost in it, and then we look back, we're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. I got so caught up in the moment, you know. and we have these regrets. And it's when you, instead of, it's like when you go beyond feeling the experience to becoming the experience that things shift and change. That's when you sort of hold yourself hostage and create your own stagnancy, like with an emotion.
But what do you mean becoming, what do you mean by becoming the experience?
Like, gosh, I don't know. He wants me to use my sister as an example. Okay. So she had this, my sister lives in Hawaii, so it's already freaking magical. And she had this super cool experience. You know, she's single. This guy came out, visited her. And they just had like these off the charts experiences in these botanical gardens, and you know, where he just like professed his love to her out loud and lifted her in the air, and it was like so not real. It's like the crap you see in movies. So,
oh my God.
She was so caught up by it, you know, she lives right next to the airport too, so she's always watching planes take off and she loves it. So what Eric is talking about in this example is like she got so caught up in the magic of the moment, she lost sight of who she was. And then after he left, you know, she carried that. She began to attach to those expectations of things like that happening again. And even like becoming disappointed because she projected those expectations on someone else. Of course, she's not with that guy anymore, but as she moved on, she still reveled in that experience and relived it over and over. So she became attached to it. And then when something else, when reality wasn't the same, then she was disappointed. So she stayed in that emotion of, like, just euphoria and so caught up and consumed by that person, she created an identity in that moment, in those moments, he says, and in that relationship, like the style of it, he says, the style of the relationship. And then she sort of like forgot who she was. And then, of course, time passed and she had to kind of crash
down. No, because she changed her identity. She changed her identity.
Right. And she, and then as time passed and they moved on, then she, you know, that's where like the broken heart set in, and then she had to mend and start over. Because she created expectations, and Eric says it really comes from when you allow yourself to become an emotion. You can experience it and feel it. That's great. That's what you should do. He says, but when you become it, that's a whole different, now you've just like flipped, you know, to the other side of the table, and now kind of like creating your own, like holding yourself hostage. So he wants you guys, as you go
this
through...
Expectations can be imprisoning. Expectations, I'm sorry, can be sort of a type of bondage, you know, make you a prisoner.
Exactly. And he says, Mom, it's all too often that people... So he says, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. It's always about being present, because even expectations are associated with the concept of time. And like, for example, when people look back and they think, oh, my childhood, I can't believe my parents did what they did to me. And now that's because, you know, I am who I am because of that. Well, A, he says, you've created an identity with that experience and you've become that emotion. He's being a smart aleck. He's like, you could talk yourself out of it all you want. He goes, you can sit there and say, well, yeah, I'm doing better with it. I'm past it, but I just want to know why I had to go through that. Well, as soon as you have to ask why, he says, you're reopening that wound. You haven't really moved on from it. You're still incarcerated to it because you're trying, like you're still trying to understand it. So what he's saying is to look at how that's also associated with time. If you're not being present and you're looking at the past, you can learn and grow. Like, look at the silver lining, learn and grow from it, but move on. But of course, you know, you guys have heard him say this before. When you rehash it, it's only going to shake out so many ways. and to, you know, basically rehashing is just basically like he's showing like mixing up a tincture, like here's a little bit of poison, here's a little bit of poison, and this is your own tincture that's supposed to be healing, but instead, you know, you keep adding poison to your own mixture, your own self, every time you reopen
That's being stuck in the past, and being stuck in the future is where the expectations come in. For example, expectations on the kind of relationship you want to find, and that could really be very limiting for you too, and enslaving.
Right. He says, Mom, it's so limiting, because then what happens is, he says, the biggest thing that you're limiting when you create types and expectations, you're limiting like the capacity for your fulfillment, like your happiness, your joy. So he says, if you, and he's like, he's almost like getting emotional, because people do this so much, it's so unconscious, like they don't even know they do it. And he's saying what people do is they cap out their ability to be fulfilled. They wind up eventually feeling empty again, and then they start all over again. So when they have expectations in a relationship, they're putting a ceiling on the amount of happiness or joy or fulfillment, rather. Fulfillment won't
last.
That
doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound right.
He's like, and then he like kind of throws his hand forward. He's like, you might as well forget it, because it's almost like setting yourself up for failure. So he wants to talk real quick, too, about, so attachments are like setting yourself up for failure, because eventually that fulfillment's going to run out. That's kind of like what he's saying. And he wants to talk about, we've talked about this before, but he wants to talk about like your expectations and how they're associated with types. He's like, I see people do this all the time, even like with their parents. They expect in their head, like they think in their mind, well, she's my mom. She should be like this, but she's not. And I don't understand why she's not like, you know, nurturing or whatever. Or, you know, a relationship with a significant other or a sibling. When you have types and you think, well, they should be like this type, or you create that idea, you're not being fair to yourself or to them. And again, like setting yourself up for disappointment. He says, Mom, it really boils down to accepting the different dynamics that all different... he's so funny. He's acting like a kid. He, like, scrambles his hands in the air. He says, all the different dynamics that different relationships bring you, if you can know and stay connected to your heart and live through that awareness, you'll never be displeased, because when you're truly in that space, there are no expectations. All that shit dissolves, he says, and you're at a higher capacity to not be affected negatively by something or someone when you're living through the heart, like through the heart awareness. So that's the key. That's what people almost like automatically forfeit when they're in a relationship.
So are you saying that to attract the not perfect, there's nothing perfect, I suppose, relationship, that we should be in the present moment and connect with our heart?
Exactly. When you connect with your heart, he says, and when you not just make that connection, but you live through that space, which he goes, we need to do a show about that.
what does that mean?
What does that look like? Like, what are the symptoms? Mm-hmm. Like a radio show. He's saying, like, the symptoms, he means examples. Like, when you're living through the heart, there's no expectations, there's no doubts, there's no fear, no worries, so on and so on.
Nothing related to the past or the present.
Right. You're at a higher capacity just to accept what is and be with what is without being affected by it. Because you already know your true self, which does not have an earthly identity, your true self. And when you connect to that space, it's almost laughable then to think anything else could affect you, like in a relationship, a toxic relationship, he says. But, Mom, he says, one one thing that people do when they're waiting for like a significant other to come along, it's like they, he's like, all right. He goes, teamwork is great. Marriage is great. I'm not saying it's not. He says, but don't place identity in that other person thinking like, you complete me. And he says it with that cheesy voice, like, I'm waiting for my partner to complete me. Mm. And he's like, you're already complete. And as soon as you wait for them in that sense, you're already forfeiting, like, your wholeness. You're already whole.
Ah.
He's like, I want you to know that. He's really passionate about this.
Mm.
But when you think, you know, oh, I want that person to complete me, he says, whoa, you better be careful, because if you think someone else will complete your happiness, he says, I got news for you. He says, you're setting yourself up for failure. So you can share life and have a joyful life with others. But don't give away your wholeness, you know, to someone else in a relationship. Don't piece it out. He laughed at me when I said that. He goes, you just said peace out.
peace out.
But there's so many things that he still wants to talk about, and so many aspects about, like, toxic. We've talked about this before, toxic relationships and how to deal with it. But he says, the most important thing for you is to know you and know what you think you create an identity from. If you can understand that, or even like assert it, become aware of it, then you're more you're in a place of like, I guess, better power, or like a higher capacity to stay in that essence. When you truly know yourself, nothing else will change it, is the bottom line, he says. So, meaning like nothing else will affect you. he goes, go ahead, Kim, tell them how they talk shit about you and how it doesn't bother you. It used to, definitely used to. You know, people make fun of me on YouTube
too.
Stuff. But now, you know, that's okay, because they're at a different level of consciousness. They're in a different place, so you have to be able to embrace that. And then you dissolve its ability to affect you by embracing it. If you resist it,
that's
if
true.
You
instead
it,
of becoming it.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly.
You become it. So look at how you're resisting relationships, or where you're resisting something in a relationship. And kind of like the example earlier when I was talking with a client, Eric was telling her, like, you know, she was really ready to move her mom in with her because her mom needs help, and her mom was ready to move in, but they had been estranged and hadn't been talking.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really worried and really fearful that it might not go well. And he said, you're already predetermining the outcome based on your past experiences. And he's like, realize you're being so unfair to yourself. You want the best for both of you, don't you? And she's like, yeah. And he says, well, then create the space for that. But by sort of holding on to the past, you're creating space for that to determine your future outcome. Do you see
exactly.
what I mean? So I hope that makes sense to you guys, too. I mean, there's times where I've kind of, like, you know, just held on to Eric, and I'm like, dude, listen, you got to help me out in my marriage here, because we're not getting along. You know, we fight a lot here lately, or whatever it was, you know. This has been some time ago, but he's like, well, Kim, look what you're doing. Every time you go home from work, you expect it to be difficult. So you're already creating the space for it. Basically like, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, it's your
fault. He's a little marriage counselor, the love guru.
He was, and I just was like, oh, my gosh, you're right. Like, every time I would drive home from the shop, I was like, oh, gosh, I hope things are good tonight. I hope things are smooth and easy tonight. And then he'd be like, well, by you addressing it with that fear, you're creating space for it to be shitty. He's like, so take responsibility for that and let it go. So,
well, before we take callers, can Eric, can you think of anything practical to tell somebody who wants to welcome a new and very positive relationship into their lives, a relationship of any sort.
He's like, he just changes his tone. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, Mom. Like, he gets real matter-of-fact. Okay, so he says, when you're in a place and you're ready, you know, you tell yourself you're ready for a relationship, he says, the biggest thing that you could do is to recite the emotions, like live in that space, because it's using the now to create it. So you live in that space like it already exists. So number one,
go you live in that space like that wonderful relationship already exists.
Yeah, like
and
in, the heart, in the heart.
And you connect with the emotion.
Like
behind that feeling.
Yep, being excited about meeting them, being excited about, you know, if you're a girl, getting all done up to go to dinner with them. So going through the emotional reality of it will help you bring that into your reality, bring it into your awareness. But this is tricky because he says then people, they create attachments, they create an identity with, like, their expectations. So it can be really tricky. So he says, and practically, like, if we're practically speaking, the best thing you can do for yourself is get rid of types on, like, a more practical level. He's like, if you have a type that you're going after or a type, you're just limiting yourself. He's like...
Yeah, of course.
He says, he's like, oh, fuck that. Sorry. But forget about the types. He's like, because you'll attract what you are. Oh, boy. God, see, this is like a whole nother show. He's like, think about it. When people have low self-worth and almost like carry a sense of shame, they attract relationships that don't last, that could even be abusive, and so on. So really be mindful of your worth and, like, where you are in your mindset of who you are and about yourself, because you'll attract that. So
exactly.
He's like, get really high about yourself. Get really excited about loving yourself, and you'll attract someone that can do the same.
Oh, that sounds great. Those are great words to end on. Anything else, Eric, before we take callers?
Oh, yeah, he's rambling. He could go on for hours, but we can take callers. He's ready.
All right.
Like, give him to me. I'm
ready. Okay, we have somebody from the 347 area code. Let's see who we have. Hi there. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you? I didn't expect to get picked
fine.
First.
Hi, welcome. You are first in line, girl.
Hi, Kim. Hi, Eric. How are
Hello.
You guys doing?
Welcome.
Thank you. So it's interesting that you guys are talking about relationships. I wasn't going to call in, but something said call in.
All right.
Here I am. And, you know, it is true what Eric said about kind of just feeling that you're already in a relationship. And that's how I kind of feel. Like, I don't feel like I'm single. Like, I feel like I'm already with someone. So I don't feel like a desperation or a...
That's a good start.
A need or... Yeah, so I already feel like I'm there. So I don't feel like I'm missing anything. And I...
Good.
I know he will show up in real life one day, but until then, I'm happy with the imaginings.
Yeah.
Right. So. He says, he's like, just keep it clean and keep it clear. What he means by that is, like, what you're envisioning, not to get too attached to a certain way that you might meet someone or a certain type of someone that you meet. So, just continue to hold space like you are. It seems like you're even in that place where you can feel and easily imagine yourself, like, cooking for that person and coexisting under the same roof and, like, sharing a life with another someone. Like,
yes.
he's like, trust me, she's good at that. She's good at that. And what he's talking about is not having attachments. So that's good. You're very... easy breezy and flowy. Those are Eric's words.
Flowy.
I like those words,
she's
Eric.
Flowy. Do you have a question for us? Do you have a specific question for him?
Sure. I guess on another note, since I got the relationship thing down packed, for 2.5-3 years, I've had this little, like, I don't know, I guess it's like a pain on my right, on my left thigh. I don't know what it is. I've tried physical therapy, but I don't know if I just didn't stay long enough or it's just still there.
So what is it, Dr. Eric?
Yeah, sometimes, Dr. Eric.
Sometimes, he's so funny. He goes, you can call me Dr. Medhus. And then he laughs and winks at him. So sometimes he's very forthcoming with a ton of information. Other times he's really straightforward, matter of fact, with like one line. And that's kind of how he's being right now. When you say that you've tried physical therapy, he presses his lips together and he taps his finger on his lips and he looks at you and says, have you tried, and these are his words, and I'll translate what he means. He says, regressive therapy? I don't even know if that's a term. But what he's talking about is like past life hypnotism type thing. Those are his words.
Yeah, maybe you were stabbed in the thigh with a spear or something. You never know.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that, because that's what I was going to say next, Elisa. That's insane. That is insane. I'm just about to, like, drop the mic and walk out. That was crazy. I can't believe you just said
that. Mic drop.
He literally was beginning to show, like, a past life mortal wound, and I could see, like, an arrow in your leg, like a spear.
Wow.
That's how it feels.
That's so insane.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how it kind of feels. And I was going to go back to the doctor.
I'm so frustrated with Eric because he's like, well, duh. And I'm like, no, dude, it's not duh for us. It's not matter-of-fact stuff.
Yeah,
but anyway,
come on.
So
don't you remember being human, Eric? Come on.
So what he encourages you to do when people carry, like, this residual emotion, vibrationally, like, tied to a past event. You know, it's subconscious. That's why we're like, well, what is this thing? You know, all these tests, there's nothing going on. What is it? It's more, you're not quite conscious of the happening or the emotion and what it's connected to. So that's why he's encouraging, like, a hypnotism-type session or, like, a past life regression where you go back to that moment and relive it to heal and like clear the space for the emotion that you're carrying that's tied to it. So it's the emotional awareness that keeps it alive within you, and then it, of course, if it persists for so long, it turns into a physical experience.
That's right.
He's just kind of showing
you. But check it out.
Yeah, he says it was like friendly fire, though, so that's why you carry it so heavy. You always think that you take a hit from an enemy, but it was actually, like, he shows you being female, and you look up and realize, like, who shot you, and it was, like, you're shocked by, you know, I thought I was loved by this person. So that's, like, where the, oh. He looked at me, he goes, duh, Kim, don't you get it? He's like, that's why we're talking about relationships tonight. That's why she called in tonight, because it was, like, a significant other, like a lover, a spouse. That did this to you.
Oh. Hopefully it's not the one I'm going to meet in this life.
No, it was not an accident. That's why she still carries it.
Oh, snap. That's not good.
Yeah, that's
all right. Well,
why she still carries it. So.
Well, I hope that helps you.
So physical
really
therapy won't help then if I try that again.
No, I think it will help if you do like a hypnotism or past life regression. And have your therapist or whoever does this regress you back to the time where this pain began. You know, they don't have to be any more specific than that, he says. Just have them take you back to the place of where this pain began and then go through that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Elisa, Eric, and
thank
Ken.
You.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
I hope that helps.
You are welcome. Yes.
Let us know what happens.
Yeah, we'll do.
Eric's even talking about, like, doing another show with the topic of why hypnotherapy, like in regressing someone back to that moment, like why it transmutes. Because he's talking about, like, then once you revisit it, you become conscious of it, it dissolves. And so he's like,
yep,
you know, we can talk about that, like why it goes away.
Okay, I'm putting that on my list. All right, let's take another caller. This one is now from the 713 area code. Hi there, how are you doing? Welcome to the show. Are you there? Anybody there?
I don't think they're there.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, let's try one from the 219 area code. Hey there. Welcome
Hello?
To the show. Hi there.
Well, hi. Hi, I'm Sigosa McDonald, and you just called out a number, and I'm like, wait, what did you just say? Hi.
What's your first name?
I'm Brittany. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Brittany.
Hey. Hey, I was just curious if Eric had any information for me tonight.
Oh, I love the nice open-ended questions. Awesome.
Yeah, me too. He goes, he like rolled his eyes, and he goes, well, of course, I'm a fountain of, like, infinite wisdom. And he uses that tone like, hello. He's so funny. Okay. So there's a couple things, Brittany. Do you have children?
I have one.
Okay, because he's acknowledging, like, energy below you, directly below you, which would be, like, children or a child. The reason why he brings this up is, God, he's, like, ruthless. He goes...
No.
Oh,
brace yourself,
that's
Brittany.
That's hard to pass along. Let me see if he can, like, sugarcoat it a little bit. Okay, so he says to kind of collect yourself a little bit and focus. When it comes to being a parent, he says, we can get so caught up in the moment, like the happening or what's happening, that we forget to take a step back and observe ourselves. Because I feel like what you're experiencing emotionally is like, you know, and your child could be anything from like brand new baby to teenager, I don't know. But what happens, he says, when we get caught up in the moment is, and he's talking about you specifically, but this applies to almost every parent too. He says, we then have regrets and think, like, I wish I would have slowed down and done that differently because I want to shape them and mold them into, like, this type of person.
God,
and
I've had that.
This perfect opportunity, but I didn't do it. Like, if I could, kind of like regrets, like, if I could go back and do that over, I would. Even if it's the simplest of things, like, you know, packing them up in the car and taking them to soccer or whatever, and then getting a little scattered in chaos with your time management, then we become not like ourselves. Then we carry that guilt and that shame of,
if I could do
different, I would. So he's saying to just, like, be really present with yourself and mindful, like, as a parent, because it seems like you're hosting, like, you're carrying some guilt associated with your parenting skills, and he's like, he shrugs his shoulders and he's like, you're doing the best.
Don't all parents do that? I think all parents do that just about. We can never be perfect
enough.
Well, I have more struggles with my parents, with guilt with my parents, you know, from what I've been through with my parents. My son, he's just, he's pretty good. He's four, he's spoiled, he's the only child, so he gets my attention all the time. That's the only thing I can think that may be related to.
He says to answer your question, Elisa, he says you'd be surprised. He says some people think and believe that they're the absolute perfect parents and they do no wrong. He's like, but in their perspective, they're right. But he says, Brittany, to tell you, he says to tell you, you know, in very, you know, Eric is very known for giving information that is a future reference too. So please make a note of this as you raise your son. Eric is showing you, like, being conscious of your intentions and, like, being mindful. He says it's just like an organizational thing in time management. That's really what it boils down to. So he just wants you to take time to be conscious in your decisions and your intentions with your son. It's not saying that you're not or that you're a bad parent by any means.
Right.
It's like,
you're saying that could happen in the future? Is that what you're saying?
Right. And he's saying, like, like, don't look back and, like, shame yourself for, you know, not doing something the way you would have if you could do it over. But it seems like it feels energetically kind of, and I hate to use this term, but I don't know how else to describe it. It feels surface level, so it's not severe, like, you know, oh, my God, I flipped out and I screamed at my child. It's nothing like that. It's almost like, oh, gosh, if I could go back and do that again at the grocery store, I would probably have done this instead of that. So it's not a big deal, but he just he wants you to just, like, slow down as a parent and be conscious, because it seems like the whole reason why he's coaching you on this, he says, is, like, you're here to break up patterns and cycles. And I think you take it very seriously, the type of human you're molding. You know, as a parent, you're molding a person. And so
Does that have roots in her own upbringing? That has roots in her own upbringing? She's trying to break, she's here to break a pattern based on her parenting, her the way she was
raised? Right. He says, yeah, Mom, and she takes that very seriously, especially through compassion. Like, compassion is very important to you, Brittany, and for you to express that, like, that sense of nurturing. So I don't know if you felt like you weren't nurtured or didn't have that depth of compassion from your parents, but I think that you are going to be, you know, abundant in that with your son, and it's definitely one of the top key elements that you're here to sort of change and instill. This is really interesting. This is like your mission in life, like to break these past parental cycles. Like, this is your purpose. He's making this a big deal.
Wow.
So I hope that helps you, and you know, with your son, just, you know, sometimes just like as he grows, he you know, sounds like he's pretty young, but as he grows, Eric says, let him teach you, because I think he's going to naturally foster that process of breaking those old cycles of feeling distant or I don't want to use the word estranged, but it's kind of like just feeling distant from each other. So if that's how you were raised, your son's going to teach you how to be different, how to be loving and nurturing.
That's
right,
beautiful.
That's
really interesting.
Yeah, teamwork.
He's always taught me so much. He's only four, but I knew when I was pregnant with him, just something felt different. Like, he felt like he was just going to be just awesome, and he is like so far advanced for his age. It's crazy. I, you know, homeschool him. I'm planning on future homeschool him as well, too. But right now, it's just he's over. Pardon me?
What's his name?
His name's Logan.
Aw, how sweet. Yeah, it seems like you guys have a really strong connection. And it's like this mission, Eric says, is so important to both of you. So really powerful.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, I hope that helped
you. It sure does. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You bet.
Thanks for calling in, Brittany.
No problem.
Bye, Brittany.
Have a good night. Bye.
Oh, that's a pretty lofty mission. Not an easy one. I bet they made a contract together to make it happen.
Yeah, and it's, man, the energy is so deep with that. It's really... Really cool. Really encouraging, too.
That's great.
I mean, gosh.
It is encouraging. Let me see if I can get the 713 area code back on, because...
Because
I could tell that's from Houston. 713,
that sounds familiar. Where is
Town.
That?
Is anybody home? Anybody there? Oh, well. Oh, you
man.
Lose, you snooze, I guess. Well, we'll try one from the 602 area code. Hi there, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good, how are you?
Good, what's your first name?
Jill.
Hi.
Welcome.
Jill, what you got for Eric? You have a question for him?
I don't know, I was just kind of listening to the show and the whole relationship thing came up and then I forgot my other question. Because I just broke up with a guy, that I had been dating for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And obviously it kind of consumes me because it's so recent. So any thoughts from Eric?
Wow, that's interesting. when you said you forgot your question, Eric's like, well, that's okay. I always have free advice. He's like, people like free shit, right?
I would be happy.
So he's always, you know, willing to give advice and information, whether you remember your questions or not. But at that moment, he also showed you, and this is just symbolic, but I can translate what he's trying to say. He showed you putting on a new pair of shoes and walking away. So it represents movement, new movement. You know, you putting on the shoes means you're taking charge. And shoes, you know, we put shoes on when we travel, when we move. So it's very symbolic of where you're at. He says that you're someone that needs that anyway. And
needs what?
Movement. Like, he says that she's going to be quick to respond if something feels stagnant unproductive. He says that you need movement, and you need it to be, like, in a relationship, you, like, it's kind of like when something isn't, or someone isn't bringing out the best in you, and you can no longer bring out the best in them, you're someone who's, like, you're not going to waste time. Like, you're just, like, okay, something's got to change here, something's got to give. Don't have regrets with that. When you make decisions, trust what you're guided to make. Trust the decisions in this movement.
Yeah.
But I also feel like,
Can I just interject and maybe ask Eric, I feel like I wasted 17 years of my life.
Well, maybe it wasn't a waste. Maybe there's things you got out of the experience.
Right.
I did.
I've seen so many people that say the same thing. You know, I went through that relationship, and now I feel like I wasted all these years. But it wasn't a waste because it was time that you spent, however you spent it, to evolve. You evolved. If you can look at the silver lining, you'll look at how you've evolved. You'll know, rather, how you've evolved and where.
Maybe you guys had a contract to only be together for 17 years to establish some sort of end game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there was a contract there. And, boy, I did learn a lot. Because that's,
you learned your worth, he says.
I did. I certainly did. That I'm a
because
lot.
Because that's awesome.
I'm worth a lot more than he treated me. So,
right. He says you learned your worth because I feel like he was verbally harsh, to put it in a light way. He might have said some unkind things in like a habitual way, but it seems like verbally he was unkind or negative. There's just a lot of
It was just in a negative way, not so much verbally, certainly not physical, because I would have never put up with that. But it was
not for 17 years.
No, but it was just always there that he was sort of taking advantage of me in a lot of ways. And then again, I thought, it must have been a contract. And I learned that I'm not going to ever put up with that shit again. But I just... But it still just kind of consumes me. And I want to let it go.
He says, this is tough. When people say that phrase, he says, they're still clinging, of course, so they want to know how. When they say, I want to let it go, I'm trying to let it go, they're still clinging. But, you know, it's a transition. He says, you're human. You have to allow yourself to transition through the emotions, through the phases, because the human nature in you had created an identity in that relationship, as that person's partner and as a girlfriend or a fiance or whatever it might have been. So you're allowing yourself to sort of transition from that mindset and from that reality. And it takes time for us here because we exist in accordance to how we understand time. I know that sounds a little
bit... Eric, would it help if she called him and said, I think we had a spiritual contract together, and I want to thank you, or you don't have to add that part, depending on where he is and all this, but, I want to thank you because from our relationship, I learned X, Y, and Z, and I'm grateful for that.
He says, He says, "You're right, Mom." And he says, "To you, Jill, if you don't think it's possible to call that person up and say that, you can still say it aloud, emotionally, vibrationally, or even in your head, like a psychic conversation. But basically what you're doing is allowing yourself to release the identity from, like, the guilt associated with it, like the guilt of, like, did I waste all this time? Because when you do that, you move through it. You move beyond it. So whether it's saying it in meditation to him, saying it over the phone or in person, you release its hold on you, so to speak.
Yeah, just be grateful for him and the time he spent helping you evolve.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He taught you your worth. Like, he made you become really aware of your worth, and even more
That's
so.
That's awesome. What a gift. What a gift he gave you.
Exercise.
What a gift he gave you. Seriously.
Yeah.
Lisa, if I could only get that in my head, but right now I just think he's an asshole. So, but I'll keep that in mind.
But a lot of people sacrifice, a lot of souls sacrifice themselves by being relationship villains. They plan, one little soul might say, "Hey, I want to learn about forgiveness, so can you betray me?" Okay, yeah, but don't forget who I am. Don't forget who I really am.
The truth, right.
So,
that's so true.
Yeah,
and
I just remember that.
You know, they sacrifice, too. They sacrifice their reputation and all sorts of things to fulfill that contract mutually. So remember that the truth of who he is much different than the way you know him. His truth is not how you know him in this earthly plane. All of that will pass away. But, you know, it's human nature. Remember that. It's human nature. It's not true soul nature to be that
I would
be.
I would tell you guys, everybody here, including you, to look up online and read. It's available online, The Little Soul and the Sun by Neil Donald Walsh. And it's a child's book, but it explains exactly how relationship villains work, and these contracts that, you know, somebody has to come down and be an asshole with you in your life. So read that, The Little Soul and the Sun, S-U-N.
I will definitely.
Okay,
I love
babe.
Him.
Thank
you.
All right, I hope that helps.
It really, really did. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, sweetie. Love you.
Okay.
Boy, that's tough.
Yeah, that's a very, very powerful story. Even though it's a children's story, such a powerful one. You guys write that down. I hope you have your pens and papers out. Write that stuff down. I want you to read that and do a book report on it by next week. Just kidding. All right, let's talk to somebody from the 206 area code. Hi there. Hey, what's up?
Anybody home?
Oh, no.
Well, sure.
We've never had two people that have dropped
maybe
off.
Maybe they fell asleep.
maybe so. We must be boring. All right, let's take another one from the 310 area code.
Hi
there. I bet you're from
Gail.
Cali, California.
Hi, this is Gail. Can you hear me?
Hi, Gail. How are you doing?
Good.
Are you calling from Cali?
From you guys. I'm calling from Los Angeles, yes.
Oh,
okay, cool.
I thought so. What you got
you
for Eric?
You were just out here, right? Oh,
I was just out there last week.
And I was, too. I was in Topanga, if that counts, sort of.
Topanga is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty.
But, well, first to Eric, and to all of you, hello, and love you and love everything you do. And just looking for any sort of guidance. I have a hard time sometimes trying to imagine what my future might be like or trying to project and make forward movement. Sometimes I get a little too trapped in the now. I don't know if that's where I'm supposed to be, or sometimes it feels like I'm making no forward progression. That makes sense.
Yeah. This is interesting. Because I said, all right, Eric, what you got? It sounds like she is connected to the now and has a hard time moving forward or feeling like you're evolving. When you're present and you're mindful of your presence, meaning like observing your actions and reactions to the present, that perpetuates your own personal evolution, because when you're mindful, then you evolve. Like when you are observing yourself, that's mindfulness, and then you evolve from that observation. But he says, I got news for you. He says, I hate to break it to you, but when you're always learning or yearning for and longing for, like, what's next, you're not in the now. You're not.
Okay.
But he's kind of giggling.
You're
in
the future.
In a really sweet way. He's being like a really sweetheart. He just kind of giggles and says, you're somebody who likes instant gratification, so it's hard to feel pleased by movement, like evolution, like personal evolution.
True.
You're someone who likes to see it in front of your face, like right here, right now, like that.
True.
That, he goes, you're just like me, like that instant gratification. So, that's why it feels like an hour is an eternity when you're trying to achieve something. So here's my advice, he says. Forget about what's next. Forget about what you want to be next. And look at how you can create right now. Okay, so I'm going to have him move a little bit beyond that because I hear him say that all the time. So I'm going to try to have him say it a little more tangibly.
Okay.
So anyway, he's saying, like, be present with yourself and create right now what you think you want for the future. This is such a cheesy example. This is what he says. Such a cheesy example, but he says, this is an example of using the now to create your future. And that's the way he says it. Create a vision board. So because you're now, you get these things out, right? You tack them to this. He's, like, cussing. He's been so cynical.
I do that all the time, and I haven't made one in a while, so it's kind of funny.
Oh, wow. No wonder. That's so funny.
I don't even know what a vision board is, so you guys are way ahead of me.
Oh,
go ahead.
God.
You don't have to explain it for me.
You just get this board, he says, and you fucking tack up your dreams, but you're in the now with it. Like, you
mm-hmm.
get pictures and phrases, and you put them all together. Like, you're using the now to create. Right? You're making space for and emotionally connecting to what you're creating.
Yeah, and I usually match my vibration to what that feels like or what I imagine
exactly.
that will feel like.
That's so funny that he's never, in all the times I've connected with Eric and channeled him, he's never told anyone that I can remember to create a vision board. So if you have a history
of it, I never remember
him
doing that.
No wonder. He says, that's the best tangible way for you to be mindful and connect back to the now, to actually create that movement you're wanting to feel, to move forward.
Okay.
To like not feel stuck. But he says, like, keeping that space for motivation and inspiration too, when you create these boards, like, you might have a certain concept or idea, but when you go shopping for whatever's going to be on your board, you know, if you go shopping through your old books or magazines or whatever, let other stuff jump out at you, like, oh yeah, that would be fantastic. I'm going to add that to my board. Like, that's the tone that he uses in his voice. And he says, allow yourself to be inspired in, like, unforeseen ways.
So open your mind
Perfect.
And heart to other possibilities instead of having these expectations of, well, I'm going to look for stuff for my vision board that has to do with such and such or whatchamacallit.
Yeah, right.
Just be open to the moment and what's,
right. I mean, you might find something amazing in the magazine Muffler Digest. You never know. It doesn't always have to be Vogue, does it?
Yeah, right. And it's funny, Elisa, because he looks at you and he's like on a roll tonight. He goes, can that be a topic? Can that be something we talk about? Because it's something
Muffler?
People can do, Mom. They can make a vision board to bring to life the reality they're hoping for or they're longing for.
Ah, I thought you were going
to
talk about mufflers.
Because
you liked mufflers. That boy loved. He wanted to change my Suburban muffler and put a cherry bomb on it or something and make it really loud. Totally illegal, but he wanted to do it. And I said, no. Poor guy.
Oh, that's so funny.
Denied.
He is so sweet. He's just laughing at himself and his own, like, his own little tics and quirks. But he says it is a great way to connect to the now and use the now to create. Because when you do that, you connect back to the now to create, you're putting so much power behind it, you don't even know, he says. But when you stay in this place of longing, like, how can I, when am I gonna, then you're not in the now.
Yeah, it feels kind of helpless sometimes, too.
Yeah, like exactly. You become helpless in your ability to change things. So it's very empowering.
We'll talk about that. We'll definitely talk about that in a future session, in a future show. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think ought to wrap it up. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Yes. Good luck with your vision board. And,
yeah. Send us a picture.
I'll have to send a picture on the blog.
Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Send a picture and we'll put it up on the blog. That'd be awesome.
I have been so bad. I have not said. Done a shout out for liveparanormal.com. You know what? Because we skipped three shows, so I totally am out of the groove. Thank you, liveparanormal.com. Yeah, thank you, liveparanormal.com, for letting us do this, giving us a venue, an avenue to bring love and light to the world. And Kim, where can people find out more about you?
Thank you. You guys can, if you want information about who I am or what I do, you can find me on my website at kimbabcock.net, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'm trying to get some content for you guys up on YouTube. It's just finding the time to do that. So until then, don't forget to check out channelingeric.com, Eric spelled with a K. I've told you guys this before, but I'll tell you again. Go on the blog, scroll down a little bit, halfway down on the right side of the page. Go through those categories and all the things that Eric has talked about, all these topics. You guys will be amazed at how helpful this information is. And I promise you, you will find something that resonates with where you are in your life right now. So go check it out at channelingeric.com. Until then, we will continue to connect with you guys all across the board on social media. So look for us there, too. I thank you guys so much for listening. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And Eric, I love you, baby. Miss you.
Oh, I love you, Mom. Wow, interesting. He actually looked at me and said, thanks, Kim. That might be the first time he's ever done that.
Oh, how sweet. Yeah, thank you, Kim.
But thank you, Elisa. It's always a pleasure. And I hope you guys have an awesome night and a great weekend.
Yep, likewise. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Good night, guys.